Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined by staff writer Jane McGrath.
Hey there, Candace.
Jane, you know that old proverb that great fences make great neighbors?
Yeah.
I think it's true.
It is very true. I like that. It's one of my favorite.
Especially if you have a yappy little dog, like I do, who likes to nose his way into other people's yards.
Yeah. I have a question for you, actually. Did you ever play the game Rampart? Video game? Oh, it's a great game. It's actually, you build, like, castles and walls to keep out the enemy forces from coming in and burning down your castle. And I think playing that game, the hours that I spent, actually prepared me for this podcast.
Oh, gosh. So, the idea today, things that keep people out. Fences, walls, boundaries, the biggest wall of all, what comes to mind?
Oh, of course, the Great Wall of China.
And yeah, there were other empires that had big walls before China. Denmark, Korea, and the Roman Empire, they all had walls before China built its. And the funny thing about the wall is that, you know, when we think about the wall today, we see this one big labyrinthine landmark.
And that's right, and that wasn't always the case.
No, it was built in sections, 6 sections to be exact.
And they had really nothing to do with each other in terms of, like, they were only for their individual kingdoms.
Precisely. And not much is known about the wall in terms of its length or its width. There's not a whole lot of standard measurements. Some people think that it's about 1,500 miles long. Other people say it's more like 4,163 miles.
Yeah.
And it's wider in some places than it is in others. And so just get the sense that it's not uniform by any stretch of the imagination.
That's right. And to give you a point of reference, like, they're not even sure how long it is. You know, you think that by today this would be easy to figure out, but they're actually, it's so difficult because there are sections of the wall that are buried and they're scattered. And like you said, there are different pieces and look different ways. So it's hard to find out.
They're built of all different materials, too.
Right.
Some are made of brick and stone, and others are made of earth and other strange materials. And you can really get the sense by studying the wall that this was a haphazard thing thrown together to keep out the Huns and other invaders. And that's exactly what it was. It's like, I'm not much of a gamer, but Jane, I imagine in Rampart you're doing whatever you can, scrambling as fast as possible to keep
right.
out people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So whatever you decide to build your wall out of, as long as it's there, it's going to work.
And, that's right.
Well, Westerners call it the Great Wall of China, the Chinese don't really think of it that way. They're like, it's not so great. It's really long. And that's why they call it the Long Wall of 10,000 Li.
That's right. And a Li is about half a kilometer, to give you a point of reference. Mm-hmm. And so that pegs it at about 3,000 miles. But as we know, we're not really sure.
And so people are actually right now on a mission to determine once and for all how long the wall is. And mm-hmm. they think it's going to be about a four-year trek because they have to go through mountains and desert and grasslands. And this is a study being conducted by the State Administration of Cultural Heritage as well as the State Bureau of Surveying and Mapping. And they're starting in the east by the Gobi Desert, and they're moving west toward the Yellow Sea.
That's right. And what's interesting to me about the Great Wall is that it was done in so many fits and starts. Like, even after it was tried to be unified, which is back in about, I want to say the 3rd century. Yeah, that's the 3rd century. Where the Qin, which is where China got its name originally, the Qin emperor wanted to unify China, and so he tore down some walls that didn't make sense to him, and he kept up a northern wall to keep out barbarians, like, so that it, not even just to stop them, but maybe just to delay them, so that when they knew they were coming, you know, the people could rally their defenses.
And so this continued for a while, and mm-hmm. it required the help of everyone from commoners to prisoners and criminals and soldiers. Everyone had to chip in and build this wall. And we know that thousands and thousands of people died during the construction, and we also know that some of them were actually buried inside the wall.
That's right, and it's pretty crazy to think that there are actually not only earth, you know, packed in, but bodies inside that wall.
Isn't that wild? And by yeah. now, I'm sure that it's bones, if even bones,
right.
how long it takes bones to finally disintegrate, but there you have it.
Yeah.
So the Qin Dynasty left off around the 3rd century, and then it didn't really get as to be huge of a project until the Ming Dynasty, and that was around 1368 when that dynasty began.
That's right, and they wanted to defend themselves from the Mongols by that time.
Mm-hmm. And so the same principle again. You keep adding length and width to the wall
right.
to keep out the invaders.
And they had special passes. Like, they obviously, in order to have people come in and out that were, like, trade, etc., that kept the country moving, they had things called passes, but they had to be heavily guarded by men to make sure, you know, you kept out the unwanted invaders. But they also, what was really cool about by this time, the wall had signal towers. And as you know, they didn't have walkie-talkies at that time. So in order
Hold the phone.
And so in order to signal to each other, like, hey, there's, you know, barbarians on the way sort of thing, they would use anything from smoke signals to banners in the daytime. But at night, they had to use things like lanterns, clappers, or gunfire.
And that's what's so interesting about the Ming Dynasty, because not only did they add girth to the wall, sometimes double and triple the width that it had been previously,
right.
they started reinforcing it with military personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had guard towers, and they had beacons, and they had all of these extra human reinforcements to make sure that the invaders stayed out. But it wasn't always successful because the guards could be pretty easily bribed.
Yeah, that's true. And it caused some problems.
It really did. And so the Mongols finally, the Manchurians, they finally overtook the Ming Dynasty.
Mm-hmm. And that was about the 17th century. And because they were more into appeasing the neighboring kingdoms, they weren't as interested in a wall. So they basically let it fall into disrepair.
Exactly. And I think also part of their philosophy was, well, it couldn't keep us out. Who else is
yeah.
it not going to keep out?
That's
this
a good
is pretty
point.
Useless.
Yeah.
And you can imagine that a wall of that size and length, even though today we talk about it being in disrepair and ruin, it would have taken a lot of manpower to keep it up. And so they decided, no, it's just not worth it. And so a wall that had been developing for some 2,000 years, it just stopped and stood. And that's when things like earthquakes and snow and wind and rain really exacted their fury on the wall. But today, the natural threats aren't as great as the human threats.
That's true. And as time went on, and people actually would take pieces away, whether it's to build houses or whatever. A similar thing happened to the Colosseum, I remember learning, where people, you know, they would just take bricks away. And this wall is a point of pride for China that mm-hmm. now, you know, it's a point of tourism, so that they want to keep it up. And so they want to stop these things that are destroying destroying it.
And it's worth mentioning, too, that Chairman Mao was a pretty gung-ho advocate of the people taking parts of the wall to build mm-hmm. their own homes. You know, progress at what cost? Well, nothing, yeah. really, because your building materials are coming from something that's already extant. But as far as threats from tourism, those are really, really serious because, you know, when the Berlin Wall came down, mm-hmm. people took pieces away, but that was fine and dandy because no one wanted that wall.
Yeah,
but the
sure.
Chinese do want their wall. And so when tourists come, even if they're just chipping away a little brick or a little piece of earth, it's causing a lot of damage because on average, the wall gets around 10 million visitors per year.
That's right. It's kind of ironic because it brings in money for the country, obviously, but it's also causing, it's taking its own toll on the wall itself.
It really is. And not just from outsiders, but insiders too, because farmers right. and herders will take their livestock there to graze mm-hmm. or else business people will set up little vendor stands and things like that in front of the wall. And it's just, it's damaging not only the structural integrity, but also the aesthetic appeal of the wall.
That's right. So today they try to advise the tourists to don't bring anything, don't like leave it, and don't take anything away either.
Right. And one of the biggest problems they have, or a couple of the biggest problems, driving along the wall. In some places it's as wide as 22 feet, so you can drive a car on it.
Yeah, and speaking of that, they've actually cut roads through the wall itself.
Yeah.
So they've taken down sections of the wall so that they can put roads through it, which I can understand. Like, obviously, it would probably cost much more money to build a road that goes over the wall, but still, it's pretty sad.
Well, it's strange to think about, too, because I think that attitudes toward the wall are shifting, or at least they have been. If Chairman Mao is encouraging people to take apart the wall, mm-hmm. you can imagine that for the sake of bolstering infrastructure, people would support the idea of just knocking through it if necessary.
That's
but
true.
Now people are starting to acknowledge it more as a world landmark, and it's actually one of the few landmarks that cartographers put on maps. And despite what people say, you cannot see it from space.
Yeah, and that's an interesting, actually, myth that you bring up about not seeing it from space, because the Chinese are actually kind of proud of this claim. They're like, oh, yeah, our landmark can be seen from space. But this myth actually dates back to a 1932 cartoon from Ripley's Believe It or Not. And the cartoon claimed that this is the mightiest work of man, the only one that could be visible to the human eye from the moon. And this myth persisted throughout the space age even, so that, you know, Apollo astronauts would like look for the Great Wall or whatever. But actually, there are shades of truth, even though the Great Wall is definitely not visible from the moon. You know, no structure really is from the moon. But from space, you can actually, some astronauts say you can barely see it. But what's interesting about this is that you can see other man-made structures much, much better, whether they be highways or, you know, the pyramids even can be seen a little bit better than the Great Wall. So it's shades of truth, but don't believe everything you hear.
But as far as, I guess, the permanence and the honor that the wall brings, I mean, you're
yeah.
right. That
yeah.
would be a really honorable claim to fame, that you can see the wall from space, mm-hmm. even if it's not true. So I can understand hanging on to that. But to know that about 50% of the wall is gone, 30% is in ruins, and only 20% of it is in reasonable condition, that's, you know, it's been a real source of hurt for people who are starting to recognize it as a link to their past. And so in 2007, when it was chosen as one of the new wonders of the world, I think a lot of commissions and organizations were, they had fuel added to their fire of
keeping
preservation.
It. Yeah, yeah.
And back in 2003, Beijing was one of the first places that the wall covers mm-hmm. to enact regulations for keeping up the wall and to impose fines on people who drove on it or
That's
took
right.
pieces
and
of
they
it.
Must have one of the worst problems with it since it's just a bustling city.
Right, and one of the biggest problems they have, I think, is raves. People having raves on the wall.
Yeah,
which
ridiculous.
To me is just inconceivable.
Yeah.
But then a couple years later, or contemporary to Beijing's policies actually going into law, China enacted a national policy against desecration of the wall.
Yeah.
So no raves, no carving, no driving, and if you do, and you're a member of an organization or a group, you're going to pay upwards of around $60,000 US. And if you're an individual desecrating the wall, I think it's around $6,000 US.
Of course, that's harder to enforce around the rural areas.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems with the wall, is that in the rural areas, you know, you're having problems with the herders and the livestock damaging the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many graves.
And you can find out more about all different kinds of subjects, from the history of China to Beijing to the Olympics, at howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the Stuff You Missed in History Class blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.